Good morning, church. Please turn in your Bible as we continue on our study to Matthew chapter number 4. And we will read there as we consider verse 10 and 11 today. We'll read from the Soto and then we'll read from the English.
Ka Soto re empa Jesu a re ho yena tloha Satani ho ngotse ho thwe o tla khumamela morena modimo wa hao o sebeletse yena a nnotse tswale diabolosi a mothuhela mme bonang manyoloi a atamela a mosebeletse.
We know the story already. We have read it more than four times now, so I'm going to read only verse 10 and verse 11. Then Jesus said to him, this is Jesus speaking to the devil, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him." May the good Lord add a blessing to the reading of his
words.
Before I give you a title of this message, let me give you two stories. We went to a meeting and we met a pastor and started to tell us a story. And this story that he's saying is actually stories that are being told everywhere in the churches these days. He says, here in Olivan, the devil is oppressing the place.
So
he says there's a mountain somewhere here in Olivan where there is that place where the devil dwells and he blocks all the prayers of the saints that the prayers may not go to heaven. So he says the only way for us to get our prayers to heaven, we need to go and look for a higher mountain where we will stand there and send our prayers unto God. So what they did in that weekend, they planned to walk around the whole Olivan so that they can break the strongholds and bind the devil and rebuke him. That is story number one. Story number two, I used to belong to a church and the pastor there was a close friend of mine. And then one day the man was praying and I observed, he was praying to God and saying to God all the things that he should say to God. Then at the middle of his prayer, he turned his attention, then he started to address the devil and said, "Devil, now I bind you in the name of Jesus." When the prayer was finished, I went to him and I asked him, "So brother, you were praying to God, how did you then turn to bind the devil? Where was the devil at that time? Was he standing with God or was he with you? Is he actually everywhere at the same time as God is?" So here's the title of the message this morning. We don't rebuke devils. We already know the purpose of the passage that we have read. That Jesus is our victor, is that man who overcame the temptation in all of its form. So this message is just an additional to deal with something very close to us. The text says Satan is defeated and rebuked and he left. The Bible tells us that, behold, the angels came and they were ministering to Jesus. And the purpose there is clear, friends, that this is the Messiah, this is the King of the Jews who has to come into the world and establish his kingdom. This is the man who was tested as we are, yet without sin. And through his victory, then, we are privileged as a people of God. Through the victory of Jesus, we are blessed. We have learned before. So since we have learned that we must stand our ground against the devil and his temptation, since we have learned that we must use the word of God as our weapon in our struggle, so if then that's the case, do we now say to Satan, "Be gone, Satan"? In other words, I'm asking, do we now possess power, do we now possess authority and right to rebuke Satan? So let me ask the question again. Does the Bible give us authority to rebuke Satan? The answer is very simple, friends, to deal with this morning. No. So how do we justify that? How do we see that? How do we have encouragement and hope then? Look at your Bible. The Bible tells us, firstly, Satan is defeated. So we don't rebuke devils because the devil is defeated. That's number one. It says in verse number 10, Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan." If you put that with verse 11 as well, Satan is defeated and rebuked and he left. So Jesus rebuked Satan and Satan obeyed. So it is a pity then that these days in most churches, in most circles, people are still fighting Satan, using the name of Jesus as some kind of a magic formula against the devil. Some will use the name of Jesus as a claim that whatever they are doing then is under the authority of Jesus. But we as a church, we have already learned that the word of God is the power of God. We already know that the word of God is our weapon of mass destruction. We need the word of God. We must know the word of God. We must obey the word of God. Then you must apply the word of God in your life. Looking then at the context of this passage, my friend, we realize that Jesus rebuked Satan only because Jesus will not bear Satan's insult any longer. Satan demands worship, and Satan's demand of worship is intolerable before the Lord Jesus Christ. So Satan is directly violating the law of God, which says, "You shall not have any other gods." So Jesus says, "Get away from me, Satan." He's not saying something of a curse upon Satan. Jesus don't rebuke Satan for any other reason but for the fact that Satan suggested that the creator should worship the creature.
Jesu ha khalemele Satan fela fela e po mo khalemela ka bana Satan a itse enwa anto a
so
a shotin tsohle ebe yena a tholisang
ena. So this whole scene in verse 1 to 11 is just here to show us that Jesus is a stronger man who entered the devil's world with power in his hand, power to overcome, power to rule.
Tsala mona ga bona ntho e tsopeleng ya rona ho verse 1 ho verse 11 ho Jesu o kene ka hara ntho e ntho e sebaka sa Satan ana le matla a puso le matla a hlolo
o kena jwalo ka sinatla
o kena jwalo ka sinatla.
Learn from me that Makarabo understands. He comes as a stronger man.
Okay, so like that.
With power to rule and power to overcome.
And
he enters to spoil the party as it were.
Okay, no,
let's look at Luke chapter number 11, verse 22 and 21.
Luke chapter 11, verse 21.
And 22.
And 22.
This is what Jesus says to the people around him and the disciples. He says,
ya sa emeng le nna wa ntwantsha me ya sa bokelleng le nna wa khalanya.
Yeah, I will not read everything, but this is what it says, chapter 11, verse 21. When a strong man, fully armed, guards his own palace, his goods are safe. But when one stronger than he attacks him and overcomes him, he takes away his armor which he trusted and divides his spoils.
Hasnata sireleditse ntlo ya teng thepa ya teng e bolokehile empa ha matla o feta sena tla seo setla then o nka thepa eo yohle e be o wa hapa a fane ka yona.
Yes, these verses that we just read, bazalwane, it speaks of Jesus entering into the domain of Satan.
He
does not speak about us being stronger men, binding and losing or rebuking Satan. He speaks of Jesus because Jesus came into the world, which we said last week, Satan is the ruler of the world.
Ha buwe ka rona rona re tshokena tulong ya Satan. Empa e buwa ka Jesu, vhone ka re bone beke fitileng, hore Jesu o kene tulong ya Satan. O Satan ele nyena muso wa
so mafa. Jesus is the stronger man.
Pa le Jesu ke yena a matla.
So here we see in verse number 10 and 11 of today that Jesus rebukes Satan. So Jesus is doing exactly what Jesus alone can do.
Tsala mona ga bona ho verse 10 le 11 ho sata ntho Jesu o khalemela Satan. Ebile Jesu ke yena fela a nna le matla a hore a khalemela Satan.
So Satan's plan of misguiding people is now destroyed.
Pale Satan to plan ya ha ya a la hlisa batho e tlalantswe.
Jesus' plan of winning the world now begins.
Tsale to plan ya to Jesu hore anto a hapele fast a le hapele ho yena.
Jesus wins back the world that sat under darkness. The world that lay in wickedness. Jesus wins back the world which was under Satan's possession. By the power of his weight. By the victory of the wilderness. By the power of the cross, Satan is defeated in the wilderness. Why? So that the unregenerated men under Satan's power and under Satan's domain will now begin to run to Jesus.
Ore batho ntwe ento basa lokang batho basa sokoloha ore ne ba khona ba mathele ho
Jesus. Jesus is saying to us today, Satan is weakened. He is weak and defeated. Now men
are able to come to Jesus. Salomona na Jesu o re satane o hlotswe ha sa na matla jwa le batho ba khona go batle ho Jesu.
He is the stronger man.
Jesu ke yena a matla ho feta
bo. The mighty warrior in battles.
Ke yena a sanatla sa ntwa.
Only he could and only he can rebuke Satan.
Ke yena fela a khona bile ke yena fela a ka khalemela satane.
So how does that stop me as a Christian then to rebuke Satan?
Jalo ho whatever
It's a question that must be answered because I am now one with Jesus. All that is His is mine. His victory is mine. So how is it that I cannot rebuke the devil? Why should I let and leave everything in the hands of Jesus? Simply because the Bible does not teach us such. Let's open to Jude when we read verse number
9. Empa le lengoloi le leholo Mikaele mohlang leneng le tsekisana sotopo sa moshe le diabolosi ha le aka la mo ahlola ka thohako fela litse morena a ke a o khalemele.
It says, but when the archangel Mikael, contending with the devil, was disputing about the body of Moses, he did not presume to pronounce a judgment, but said, the Lord rebukes you. So, bazalwane, the angel here is not saying, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of the Lord. But he's saying, the Lord rebukes you.
Lengoloi mona la halere satane ki au khalemela ka lebitso la Jesu. Empa ore morena ki ena au khalemela.
What does this tell us, my friends?
Oh, ore jota
ena. Who is this here? This is an angel of God. This is a messenger of God. Bring a message direct from God to Satan. This is a trustworthy witness. He tells the devil that not I rebuke you, but the Lord rebukes you. So this tells us, my friend, that only the Lord has the right and the power and the authority to rebuke Satan. Only God, only the Lord Jesus Christ can rebuke the devil. Michael, the angel of the Lord, refuses to pronounce a curse upon Satan. And that should be a lesson to us as Christians, my friend, on how to deal with demonic forces. So believers are not in any way allowed or given authority by the scripture to address Satan, but they would rather look and seek for God's help. They must look unto Jesus, ask Him to intervene in their lives. You see, what does this do now? It puts Jesus somewhere there. It puts me down here. That's where we belong. That's where he belongs. Think about it. A powerful being as Michael, the archangel of God, points to the Lord on how to deal with Satan. The question then is,
Who do you think you are? Who are you to attempt to cast out, to rebuke, and to command the devil?
Friends,
let us not be deceived. That is not our business. The question is, why would people want to rebuke devils even each and every Sunday? Simply because they believe that among them there are Christians possessed with demons or possessed by demons seeking deliverance.
Friends,
but the Bible is clear. Deliverance is found when one turns to the Lord Jesus Christ in faith and repentance. The Bible tells us that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. All that is needed for people to be delivered from the power of darkness and sin, it is the power of the gospel. People need to turn from their sin and look unto Jesus. The gospel is God's power. God's primary purpose then is to raise men from their spiritual death. So even if people are getting healed, if people will be physically healed, that is not the primary focus of the church. We preach Christ and Him crucified. Christ alone is the way, the truth, and the life. Does that mean now healing is not important? Not so, my
friend.
Not so, my friends. Healing is important. I just told you my wife is at home. She is sick. Healing is important. Here is Makarabo, she had arthritis, now she doesn't have. We pray to the Lord. The Lord answered according to His purpose and will. Praise to be our God. We pray for Brother Simba. He was unable to hear very well. Now he is able to hear. We serve a miracle working God. But that is not why we are here. That is not the primary focus of the church. We are together for the gospel. That is why we do not rebuke devils. We are here to serve and worship God in spirit and truth. We are not here to have an event, but to immerse ourselves, as it were, unto the word of God, unto the presence of the Lord. So, if we say we do not rebuke Satan, it is because the scripture does not teach us such an idea. It's because Satan is already defeated. So our job is to preach the gospel of peace, the gospel of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. If we say we do not rebuke the devil and the devils, it is because we will not elevate Satan to a position beyond his reach. We will not
come here to give Satan all the attention that he requires from people. We will not treat Satan as though he is everywhere at the same time. Because God alone is present everywhere at the same time. God alone can be addressed by the whole world at once. So, the first point I'm saying, the devil is defeated. So we put all our troubles, all our challenges unto Jesus, who defeated him. But the second point will sound as though contradicting. I said, the devil is defeated. Now, the second point, the war is not over. Yes, the Bible tells us that the devil left him in verse number
11.
And that sounds very relieving, my friends. We have seen the battle and the struggle between Jesus and the devil from verse 1 to verse 11. Now, here it tells us that in verse 11, it tells us that the devil left. It sounds relieving.
But
the question is, are we free then from Satan? Did Satan stop being our enemy? Of course not. He is our adversary. He is the one who roams around, roaring like a lion, seeking someone to devour. Turn to Luke chapter number 4. Let us look at Luke's account of the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why am I saying the war is not over? Verse number 13. I'll read first. And when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. This is what the Bible is saying, my friends. It tells us that Satan departed with a resolution to attack again. He obeyed the command to be called Satan, but in his own heart, he had the resolution and said, you know what? I'll come back and attack again.
So,
having tempted him with all sorts of temptations, having tried every trick in the book, having tried every way without success, he received the command from Jesus and he obeyed it. He departed. He leaves him for a while until another opportunity, an opportunity that will present itself. Until another time comes. Here's my point, my friends. Just to be short. Here's what I'm saying to you. If I say the war is not over, I'm saying the storm of our lives is not over. We need to be alert. The war against the Christian, the war against the church, the war against the word of God is not over. You cannot sit around here and say, Jesus overcame for us, I am free. The word of God is attacked each and every day. There is no way we say the storm is over while the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the true church of the Lord Jesus Christ, is persecuted each and every day. We cannot say the war is over while we are encountering evil every day of our lives. Especially when we are tempted each and every moment of our lives. So in other words, we are not here to deny the reality of our warfare with the devil. Because we are continuously engaged in a battle between good and evil, the battle with the forces of darkness. But here's the question. Where does that lead us? Turn to John chapter 16:33. Where does this lead us? Where does it point me to? Here is this is Jesus in the upper room with his 11 remaining apostles. And he's giving them encouragement since they will be remaining in the world without him. So what is Jesus' encouragement? Regardless of the fact that the war is not over, what is Jesus saying? Verse number 33. It says, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So in other words, my friend, in the world you will have tribulation, in the world you will suffer for my sake, in the world the devil roams around like a roaring lion seeking for someone to devour, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus says, take heart. In other words, worry not. Regardless of the fact that the war is not over, do not worry. Regardless of the fact that evil is serious in this world, but do not worry. If you just look unto Jesus, do not worry, it will not harm you. Though the world is troubling, I am with you all the time. Do not let your heart be troubled. Everything is under my feet. That is what Jesus is saying. And that should encourage us, my friends. Because that guarantees us joy through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus alone can frustrate the plans of the devil. Jesus alone can turn evil to good. And because of those words, you can trust Jesus. You can count on the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone has overcome the world. If you will just entrust yourself unto Him, all the joy that belongs to Him will be yours. What am I saying? Look around. Evil is everywhere. But put your focus unto Jesus, knowing that the war is not yet over, but Jesus has overcome the world. What am I saying, my friends? The devil will persist in his plans. The devil will continue in his attacks. Sometimes he will use people using the name Christianity, but we do not have to worry. There is victory in Jesus Christ. You will see as we continue with chapter number 4 from verse 12 onwards, there is victory in Christ. The devil trembles. Sinners are being saved. Sick people are healed according to God's purpose. The devil is defeated. But the war is not yet over. We still live in this world of trouble. But the defeat of the wilderness gave us the picture of the defeat at the cross. Open to Colossians chapter 2, let's read from verse 14 and 15. Look at the victory of Jesus. Regardless of what is happening around us, Jesus is our victor. Jesus is our conqueror. Read verse number 14 and 15, it says in the English. By cancelling the record of death that stood against us with its legal demand, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and the authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Take this, my friend. At the cross, he disarmed the rulers and the authorities and he put them to open shame. That's the evil forces. Evil is everywhere. Evil is everywhere right now. But Satan is unable to continue with his plan as he wanted to. He's unable to mislead the nations. Regardless of the continuous war of evil that we see, regardless of the fact that the war is not over, but we have Jesus, there is victory, my friend. Of course, brothers and sisters, demons are everywhere, misguiding people, causing chaos in most churches. Driving people to center their attention to false teachers and false pastors, false apostles. All that is because the war is not over. All that is because we are waiting for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will put the devil where he belongs, in the lake of fire with the false prophets. The war is not over. But we know that all is done for us. We have victory in Jesus Christ. We may be still going on in this life through temptations and trials. Because of these fallen ways. But we do not rebuke devils. We take advantage of the victory of Jesus.
We
fix our eyes unto him. So our call, my friends, church, is to resist the devil by being strong in the Lord. Our call is to put the whole armor of God. It is to fasten on the belt of truth. It is to put on the breastplate of righteousness. In other words, is to put Christ on us. To put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. To take up the shield of faith. That is our call. We need to take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That is the only way, brethren, we can stand against the evil of this day. Pray to God at all times. Pray to God in all circumstances. Not to rebuke devils. We count on Jesus' victory and its power. We fix our eyes unto the cross. We don't make the death of Jesus count for nothing. We don't make the death of Jesus as though it overcame nothing. If you continue to rebuke devils, it means that the death of Jesus didn't do anything. You can do a better job.
How to la pele ogalema satan wena o re lefula Jesu a leta le tokaho wena o tsala mpeli ogalema satan.
If you say you want to rebuke the devil, it means you don't see the victory that we are reading about here in verse 10 and in verse 11. Shame on you.
Ha wena o botlo ogalema satan o mulela wena ha bone tholo ena e re bonang ka ntho ho
Let me give you more encouragement. Deadly. God is on our side. The devil is defeated. Yet the war is not over. But God is on our side. The Bible tells us in verse number 11 that the angels came ministering to him. So here, the message is clear, my friends. After the storm, there is peace. After what you're going through in this life, there is peace. After the trials and tribulation of this life, there is peace. We can see God's faithfulness in these verses. We see God's love. We see God's care. We see God's faithfulness to whomsoever trusts unto his ways. Remember, my friends, Jesus had the right, Jesus had the power to call on angels to help him to fight the devil, but he chose to use his ways. Why is that a blessing to us? Because we will always have the word of God. So Jesus here used something that is more powerful than being guarded and supported by angels. That's my point. The word is powerful than having an angel with you. The word created the heavens and the earth. The angel did not create the heavens and the earth.
Through
the power of his word, he sustains the world. Angels cannot sustain the world. So the angels here did not come to give Jesus some kind of supernatural strength and supernatural support, my friend. But to minister to him. This is what I want to tell you, church. Sometimes a victory can take a long time, as we see here in verse number 1 to 11. But at the end of the day, God is on our side. That is the picture we see at the coming of the angels. That's the picture that we see. But then why is this important? Why is this important, this coming of the angels? Why am I mentioning this? Because we did not receive angels' visitation in this day. God has a better messenger, the Lord Jesus Christ. God has Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, made through his blood. So what we see here in the verses that we have read is that God did not have to act at the same time when devil wanted him to act. But at his own time, God acted and he proved once again that he is reliable. He proved once again that he is on our side. At the end of this battle, between Jesus and the devil, God only then sends the angels. So that we can see that Jesus did not overcome by being held by angels. So today we will not overcome by seeking help from angels. We can only overcome by seeking help and focusing on Jesus Christ, our victor. That is God's aim is that people may see him, that people may be saved. The battle was over, then the angels came. What did the angels come to do? It says to minister to him. What does that mean? Yet it does not tell us, but if you look at the book of 1 Kings chapter number 19 verse 5 to 8, the Bible explains there, we see God's tender love and care to the prophet Elijah. God sent an angel to provide food for Elijah. Why? So the question, will he not do that to his own son? The question is, my friend, can you expect an angel today to come and help you in your need of food? God did not promise that. Let no one fool you. What is the problem with angels' visitations that is claimed this day? except the fact that the Bible does not teach that. What is the problem? Claims of angel visitation has distorted the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and created chaos and disorder in the church. It is because of angels' visitation claims that we have cults and false prophets.
Friends,
God is on our side. We cannot keep on seeking a fight with the devil. He is defeated. We cannot keep giving the devil attention and helping him to frustrate us. He is defeated.
We
should be reaping the blessing of the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We should be looking at the devil as a paralyzed man lying there, breathing through a machine, because he's under the bound of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our duty, friends, as the church, is to preach the gospel. Your duty as the church is to hear the gospel of God. You need to come to the full knowledge of God. We have a more reliable armor than the angels.
Read verse 1 to verse 11,
you realize that Jesus has proven the reliability of the armor of God. Use the word of God.
He
alone came to destroy the works of the devil. He is much superior than the angels. The angels worship him. He is more excellent than them. He has a name more excellent than the one of the angels.
You
need to resist the devil. You need to stand firm in your faith. Yes, you must remember that the devil is dangerous. But Jesus resisted his attacks and Jesus defeated him for us.
The
word of God tells us that God is on our side. Let me summarize as we close. Here's my message for you this morning. Here's the message. Satan is defeated. Yet the war is not over. But God is on our side. On our behalf, God says, "Be gone, Satan." So we don't have to rebuke the devil. We don't have to spend time with useless things and unhelpful measures.
We
must just fix our eyes unto Jesus. Regardless of the attacks around us, we have Jesus. If we do not have Jesus, you will have the attacks. That is why only people who are not saved can complain about demon possession. So you need Jesus in your life.
And I pray
that you look unto him this morning. I pray that you don't waste any moment because your life depends on that. Let's trust in Jesus. Not in our own power. We didn't die for ourselves. He died for us. Let's pray.